Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Tats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Tats of Beverly Hills, and this evening I'm going to be talking with Phil Hendry about something very, very pivotal, very, very important in all of our lives, and that's the expression of our rights as human beings. In Beverly Hills.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
And welcome to the program. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as well, here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse in Beverly Hills tonight, Friday night, as we discuss with Ted. I know you wanted to talk about Chick-fil-A. Right now, Ted, we're looking at some of, and I guess you have it on in the prime rib room there.
Yeah, we do have the Olympics, yeah.
And we're looking at some of the countries parading by, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's great, Phil, to see these young people. They are so full of energy and so filled with hope. And there is right now, there's Haiti. There's a country that's been through so much. And yet there they are competing in the International Olympiad, the Olympic Games. So I think it's great. We've got a packed house tonight. And there's Honduras. And it's interesting that that Honduras, I think I saw a white athlete. And
well, I imagine that they have, you know, white folks there, too.
Well, you know, you get used to seeing, I heard that Jamaica has some white people, too. So you never really, you never cease being surprised. But in any event.
Yeah, so let's talk about what you wanted to discuss this evening. And I've got the article pulled up here. As this sort of this Chick-fil-A controversy is, you know, it's another one of these polarizing issues.
Well, I think the Chick-fil-A controversy can be polarizing for people who are of a mind not to grant rights to gay people in this country. But if you're like Ted Bell and you believe in the rights of all people and you believe in the rights of the gays of this country as well as other countries, whether they be gay men or lesbian women, you believe that they have the right to be who they are, whenever they want to be that person, and however they want to be. And you don't want. And let me tell you something. You don't want to eat a Chick-fil-A. You come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Everyone that comes into Ted's of Beverly Hills that is gay is going to get their dinner on me. That's number one. Number two. And
now, I got to hear this again. Everyone that,
even if you claim to be gay, and you know, you have to take the person's word for it. There's no question about it. You get a steak dinner on me at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And
so you're going to take people's words for it?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Phil. And you know why? Because it's not really about giving away a free steak dinner. It's about emphasizing the fact that we believe in the rights of gay people. And so that's what we are doing tonight through Sunday night. So if you are gay, you're a gay man or a lesbian, you can come in and simply proclaim that if you're out. If you're not out, then obviously you're not going to express yourself that way, and that's okay. I understand. I think that the tenor in this country, Phil, has been so ugly. You know, when I think about it, it's ugly. And
well, there's a lot of in some areas, in some ways, it is ugly. Chick-fil-A sandwiches have become a political symbol.
Well, that's the thing that I wanted to mention. Why would you want to eat at Chick-fil-A anyway? Not just because they don't respect you as a gay American, but why would you want to eat there when you can eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is one of the premier steakhouses in this country? And we're not a franchise place like Ruth's Chris. That's why we feel we are a cut above Ruth's Chris, and we say we're a cut above Ruth's Chris because we are the cut of steak above them, and we're also, in terms of our morality and our beliefs and our belief system and our respect for people and the decency of the human beings that work here, we are...
Well, that's a pretty harsh summary of Ruth's... I mean, you know...
Well, what do you mean?
That's a pretty harsh summary of Ruth's Chris. I wouldn't want to characterize them in terms of the quality of their people, would you?
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying to you that as people... I put our people against anybody's, including Ruth's Chris. And I certainly put our people against anyone that works at Chick-fil-A. That's a no-brainer. That's an easy call. I'm sorry that Chick-fil-A has decided that they want to take the tack that they've taken, but I'll tell you this much. When it comes to the quality of people at our restaurant, the quality of food that we serve, the quality of the valet parking your car, the quality of the young lady that sells flowers in the main dining room, the quality of our bartenders, the quality of our cocktail waitresses, the quality of even the television that you're looking at, watching the opening of the World Series here, whatever this is. The Olympics. The quality of our restaurant, Phil, is so far above Chick-fil-A.
Well, again, listen, I want to, first of all, congratulate and endorse the things that you're saying in terms of the rights of people. I also think that you giving away a steak dinner to every gay person that comes into your restaurant is very generous.
Well, you know, Phil, let me tell you something. There are certain things that I don't compromise on. There's certain things that I do not compromise on and I don't cut back on. And one of them is human rights. Let's not ever get cheap on human rights. Let's not ever get whatever you want to call it. Let's not go cheap, you know. Let's not shop discount when it comes to human rights.
Ted Bell with us. Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking about the Chick-fil-A statements. Now, these were statements made by the president of Chick-fil-A.
That's correct.
And he is the son of the founder and essentially said that we are a family-oriented business and we're a family-oriented restaurant. And the key phrase was, if that means I'm against gay marriage, then that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, when he said that, and I don't know the guy's name, and...
Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, I'll have his name here in a moment, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, when he said that, I knew right then and there, he had just signed, commercially, I'm not talking about any... He had just signed the death warrant for the life of his commercial interests with his restaurant, okay? He had just... basically lined up, if his restaurant was a man, he had tied it to a post and shot it with six guys, like a, what do you call, a firing squad, okay? That's what he did. That's what that guy did when he said that. He shot his restaurant as if it was a, you know, like a guy. And
yeah, no, I understand.
All right. And that's when I said, oh, baby, we have, the door is wide open for us at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and that's why I'd like to ask anybody out there that... first of all, likes good food, you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills regardless. But if you want to make a statement in favor of gay rights and gay marriage, come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something else, Phil. I think it's a very easy choice to make because I've been to Chick-fil-A. I have tried their food out. They are not a steakhouse. They're not a high-end restaurant like mine. But they are a place where people go and eat. And with all due respect to the people that run that restaurant, to the many people that work in those restaurants, I got to tell you, I couldn't get the sandwich down.
The food's not good.
No, it is not good. No, and I'm being kind. Have you ever eaten there?
I have not. I've lived around Chick-fil-A restaurants for many years. I just now found out that they're in California. I didn't think that they were.
And you've never been to one?
No, I've never been to one, and partly because I'm not...
Why haven't you?
Well, I was going to say partly because...
But you like chicken, right?
Yeah, I do like chicken, but it's not something I go to a restaurant to eat. I don't know...
Well, a chicken sandwich, why wouldn't you eat a chicken sandwich?
Because I don't go to restaurants to have chicken sandwiches. I go and have a hamburger at least.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I understand. But generally, eating chicken is a pretty constant thing in this country. We do have two or three chicken entrees that are mostly for the kids on our menu. I'm just telling people, if you want chicken, you can eat chicken at my restaurant, and it's going to be something that you can actually eat without, how do I say it, without feeling the spit up, the throw up coming up in your throat.
Don't come, Ted, are you saying this for real because it's actually bad?
No, Phil, the Chick-fil-A sandwich that I tried to eat, and I went back to the counter and I said, okay, this was no good. And I gave them a heads up. I said, this was no good. Give me another one. Make me another. And they said, yes, sir, we're sorry. And they were good that way. At least they had the very polite. And they gave me another one, and I tried to eat it. And again, it tasted as if someone had put it in a shoe and had literally had it in a shoe for a day. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so that's bad.
Yes. The third one they made me, I went back, I said, you got to understand, this, I can't eat it. I can't get it down. The third one they made me, finally, it was relatively edible. But by that point, it was obvious to me that they didn't know how to make a decent chicken sandwich, so I told them, you blew it with this one, too. I got to get out of here. And
well, the third one was a good sandwich.
Yeah, it was a good sandwich, but they'd already blown it with two. I'm not about to say to them, well, nice going. The first two tasted like someone had slipped them into a sneaker with a sweat sock and basically put it into a shoe worn by a human being whose foot is riddled with athlete's foot. And
okay, all right, I get the idea.
You understand what I'm saying? So I said, well, by the third one,
all right, Ted Bell with us here, 877-876-PHIL, a blistering indictment of Chick-fil-A, not just because of their anti-gay or whatever you want to call it, family value policy, but because he says their food, the actual sandwich, the actual Chick-fil-A sandwich that he ordered isn't any good. And he's offering free steak dinners to any and all gay people that come into his restaurant this weekend. How about that? 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What is that? We are not Chick-fil-A?
I'm sorry, Bill?
You have a bumper sticker?
Yeah, we do. We have the bumper sticker. I want to let people know this. We have a bumper sticker. You can get the bumper sticker in the prime rib room, and on it very clearly it says, Ted's of Beverly. I'm Ted Bell. We are not Chick-fil-A.
And I'm Ted Bell, and we're not Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, and we are not. We're not Chick-fil-A because, first of all, we're a steakhouse. We are a class organization. We serve great food, so we're not serving chicken sandwiches that I with all due respect, as I said, Phil, to Mr. Caffey, I know that, and that is his name, by the way, Dan Caffey.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that he does his best, but he's a chicken salesman. The guy sells chicken. And let me tell you something, Phil. You know, I sell steaks. This guy's out there peddling chicken. There's a big difference. There's a difference in the quality of food. There is a difference in the entrees that are offered. There's a difference in, and not only that, there's a difference in the man. He's Dan Caffey. I'm Ted Bell. He doesn't believe in the rights of human beings. I do. See? And he is very proudly proclaiming that he doesn't like the gay individual in his restaurant. And I don't know, you know, and I hate to say this, but maybe that's why I ate that chicken sandwich that tasted so horrible. Maybe he thought I was gay.
Well, let's be fair. I you're saying you had two chicken sandwiches that you couldn't get down. The third one was better. You're not biased here, are you? You know.
Well, no, Phil. Honest to God, I'm not. I'm telling you. Look, maybe it's because my palate is used to something much more high-end because you know, I eat my own food. Ted's of Beverly Hills, when we talk about we're putting a steak on your plate that is the most beautiful thing that has ever happened to you. It's not just a meal. It's something that's happening to you. And at Ted's of Beverly Hills, Phil, we don't call our people customers. We call them our passengers. They are passengers on a journey through a forest of flavor. And they're not getting out of that car. They're not getting out of that little ride, whatever you want, a little vehicle, a little spin ride, or a teacup, or whatever it is. They're not getting out until they're completely satisfied with a great meal at Denny's Beverly Hills.
All right, 877-876-7445. You're walking right up to the edge here of calling Chick-fil-A and the people who run Chick-fil-A, just they got lousy food and they don't believe in human rights. And
well, they don't. You don't have to ask me. Ask anybody. Does Chick-fil-A believe in the rights of human beings? And the answer is no.
And well, that you know, okay.
If I'm wrong, you don't agree with this guy.
No, I don't agree with him. But to say that Chick-fil-A doesn't believe in the rights of human beings, there's an argument going on in our country. There's a discussion going on among some people having to do with this stuff. So why is that call up there? Let's go to, I don't know who this is. I think it's Matt. Matt, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, Ted, I just wanted to ask you, in your restaurant, do you refuse to serve Muslims who come in and want to eat because they're violently opposed to homosexuality?
What? I don't refuse service to anybody, sir.
Well, how does that jive with your beliefs that now you're
we don't refuse service. I think I answered your question. Why would I? I'm not refusing service to you. I may disagree with you, but I'm not refusing. I believe in your right to come into my. I would never keep you from having a great steak dinner. And one of the ways I know you can have a great steak dinner is coming to my restaurant. I'm not going to keep you from that experience. I want you in my restaurant. And I sure would not want you in Chick-fil-A because I don't know if you're gay or I'll assume you're not. You don't want to eat that food, let me tell you. Because I've been there. I'm telling you, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the point of it is that you've got a private company, not publicly traded company, doing business in a way that is very profitable for them. And they're doing business in line with the owners of this company's morals, ethics, and beliefs. They're not refusing.
Well, we should point that out. They're not refusing.
Saying, you know, we don't support gay marriage. We close on Sunday so people can go to church. I don't get what's the problem with that. They're not doing anything different than what you're doing. It's just that their beliefs are different than yours. So you got to bash on them, and I don't get it.
What do you think of that, Ted?
Here's the thing, sir. Do you believe that people have the right to express their feelings about a business by not shopping there, or do we not have that right?
That's
what I'm telling people.
Right.
Gay people. All right, then I'm telling people don't eat at Chick-fil-A, but for a good reason. I'm not only saying don't eat at Chick-fil-A because they don't believe in the basic right of a human being to live. I'm saying
why do you say that?
Why do I say that? They don't think that the gays get the same rights as anybody else. So they, you know, to me that's pretty extreme. But I'm not only just saying that. I'm saying that their food is terrible. So I would say to you, don't eat a Chick-fil-A simply because the food you can barely get it down.
Well, I've never personally eaten at Chick-fil-A, but I did decide.
If I were you, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I decided that in support of Chick-fil-A standing up to people and doing business in their way of doing business, I'm going to start eating there once a week, and that's where I'm going to spend some of my money.
Go right ahead. And what's the phrase? The tree is known by its fruit. If you eat a Chick-fil-A and you are satisfied eating that that god-awful food they serve, then I guess there's nothing I can say to you. But I would like you to come out here and have a great steak dinner anyway, Matt, because you sound like a hard-working guy. You know, you sound like a hard-working guy, and you deserve a good meal after you've eaten whatever slop is they push in front of you. You know.
Well, you know what, Ted? What you're doing here is you're going after Chick-fil-A's menu, not only their stand.
Because I tried to get two of their sandwiches down. I couldn't do it. You can laugh, but you'll see. You'll see. You go to Chick-fil-A, you'll see.
If this gentleman goes to Chick-fil-A, you're saying,
I'm telling you that if this guy likes their food, then he's never had anything better. Then maybe he grew up poor. I don't know. You know. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this, I spent a lot of time in the Army, so I'm pretty sure I've eaten a lot worse than Chick-fil-A. Probably won't be anything at all for me to get a chicken sandwich down.
Well, there you go. See, that's a good point. If you've eaten nothing but god awful slop, well, then Chick-fil-A is right up your alley.
Boy, all right. Well, anyway, Matt, thank you for your call, sir. Appreciate it. 877-876-7445. You're not laying it on too thick, are you?
No, I am not, Phil. I'm not. I'm being very honest with you. I know that Matt and I kidded around. He sounds like a nice guy, but Chick-fil-A's food is so. I don't even have to tell you that they're a company that doesn't believe in the basic right of a human being to walk out onto the street unless they're checked for some kind of ID. I don't know what.
Well, look, you're turning this into kind of almost a police state mentality they have.
Well, I'm not just saying, but I'm trying to tell you, their food is horrible. It's horrible. I don't know why I have to keep repeating.
Hold on. Phil Hendry Show. I'll be
Phil
right back.
Hendry.
877-876-7445.
Talking bad about human beings and about their basic right to draw breath on this planet. We're having a party at Ted's of Beverly Hills right now. Never have enough time for that.
Yeah, well, that's the old donut.
I got to remember, that's the donut.
Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we talk about the Chick-fil-A, the stated public comment about Chick-fil-A being opposed to gay marriage that Dan Cathy, their president. Now, do you are you opposed to anyone who works in the public sector, or I should say, in public in services, in the services sector, expressing a political opinion?
No, I know I'm not opposed to it. I think there are some that should be kept that are better left unsaid. For the most part, Phil, let me say that I'm not opposed to it. I think when you're talking about gay rights or the rights of women or the rights of the mentally impaired. If you're talking about the handicapped and this kind of a deal, I don't think you have the right to say anything. And
now, why wouldn't you?
Well, because I think you are. We have to do something about the economy that we're in right now, Phil. And we've got guys like Dan Cathy, who apparently wants to ensure that his restaurant doesn't exist any longer, and he wants to put people in the street, so he's decided to come right out and say, oh, and by the way, I'm against gays. And
well, he said he's against gay marriage.
Okay, I mean, do you think that there's something different about that?
All right, but I mean, I understand that that what you're saying, when you say I'm against gays, there is at least this slight difference in the phrase that he used. He's against gay marriage, but all right, let's say he doesn't like the idea of homosexuality or gay people. Why doesn't he have the right to say what he's saying?
Because the country right now, Phil, is hurting. We're in the middle of a recession. People are out of work, and this guy, this Dan Cathy, who inherited a business from a father, I guess, that had built it up to something special. I don't know. I can't eat their food. It's as simple as that. But if people want to eat that stuff, that's, go right ahead. And take your chances. Bring the stomach wash with you is what I say. But here's my point. My point is that while he goes out on national radio or TV or whatever he did, and he says, oh, yeah, and excuse me, one more thought before I leave. Gays must, all gays must die or whatever he said.
He said he's against gay marriage.
Oh, he's against gay marriage. But why people get emotional?
Well, there's a difference, man, between saying that.
No, there's no difference. The point is that that's how people are going to hear it. And the further point is this. They're going to stop eating at his restaurant. Chick-fil-A is going to go right straight down the crapper of history, and it'll be all his fault because he opened his big mouth. I say that we got to draw a line someplace. We got to draw a line someplace.
But you're here saying you're in favor of gay rights.
Yes, because that's what most people are in favor of. And because gay people will come into my restaurant, I'm giving away free, steak dinners. I'm on the air right tonight. You think I'm going to turn business away? I mean, I may look stupid, like the old saying. I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. See? So no, I'm not going to turn that business away at all. He said what he said, and it's going to destroy his business. I want to help him. And so, no, I don't think he has that right.
877-876-7445. Should a restaurant owner have the right to say controversial things? Ted Bell said no, given the fact that it could hurt his business. And here is it Paul?
Yeah, Paul.
Paul, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Ted. I want to
How
say
are you doing,
that,
Paul?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I want to say that my opinion of you has changed for the better. A couple times I've thought you to be kind of a butthead. I remember the time you were whining and crying about when the racehorse I'll Have Another didn't run in the third leg of the Triple Crown. You were crying about how much money your restaurant was going to lose. Not thinking about the millions that the owners lost. Then another time you were crying about the big butt girl down at the barbecue place. But today I have to tip my hat to you. It's a class act what you're doing, offering the free dinners to the gay community. And I agree with you. I'm for gay rights. And I also agree with you on that chicken. I've had one of those chicken sandwiches. And it is
bad,
hard to go down.
They're horrible. Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah. I don't know why they make them that way. It might be a Southern thing. It might be the flavor. I don't know. You've eaten Southern food, Phil. What do you think?
I haven't had Chick-fil-A.
But what do you think of Southern food?
I think Southern food's fantastic. I love it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really good food down there. I don't know what the hell this Chick-fil-A is. I have never had it. But
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that my friend Paul here, he just backed me up. These Chick-fil-A sandwiches are, I think the only appropriate word, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, wretched. Wretched.
they're
absolutely wretched. And anybody that would eat that, let me tell you this, Dan Cathy has got this much on the ball. Anybody that is in favor of what he's saying, you know, that gay people should be, whatever, locked up and...
No, he didn't say that.
All right, well, whatever he said. If you want to suffer through eating the slop that he serves, you go right ahead and go on in there and you know, cast a vote with your wallet.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, Paul. Okay, Paul, thanks for your call.
Keep up the good work, man.
Yeah.
I will, and come on in to Ted, if you're not gay, which I'm assuming you're not, so you're going to have to pay for your dinner, but anyway.
Yeah. 877-876-7445, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills here as we talk about Chick-fil-A. Let's go over here to Western Estates. It was, we got Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve on the line, Ted, and you know the Dooleys.
Yes.
Hi, Phil. Ted, it's Bobby. My question is very, very simply this. If you are picking up the cost of the steak dinner for gays, how do you know they're gay?
Very, very easy. It's very, very simple. If someone comes into my restaurant and claims that they're gay, I'm going to believe them, and I'll tell you why. Because why would they lie about something like that?
Because it's easy to lie about if you're gay.
Don't do that. Okay, there's your husband again in the back. I can't understand the guy.
Could you ask Steve not to...
I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying, why would they lie?
Yeah, why would they... The gay people are not... A straight person is not going to lie about being gay because they are going to be afraid of being marked. Do you understand that straight people are so frightened of being looked on as gay that they won't even lie about it? They will, if you ask a straight man, what sexual orientation are you, even though there's a free steak dinner at the other end of it, it's impossible for him to say gay because they're afraid.
Well, I don't know. Afraid of what?
Afraid of being marked as gay.
I kind of understand what Ted's saying.
Yeah, in other words, if...
Let me ask my husband, Steve, is here.
No, we need to ask your husband. I'm telling you right now.
If you don't mind, Steve.
Yeah.
Can I call you gay? Could I call you gay?
What?
Could I call you gay? Are you gay or straight?
Hey, talk about him. I'm straight. Yeah, well, of course he's going to say he's straight.
Excuse me for that. For a free steak dinner, would you go to Ted's of Beverly Hills and say you're gay?
Darn, know that. I'm straight.
What?
Look at me. What are you talking? I know him by sight.
No, you don't. You know my husband, Steve.
Yes, I do. The time you guys came in and you did the you went table to table doing entertainment for us.
Oh, that's right. So.
I won't do. What's that? I'm not gonna do that.
What do you think? I think he said something to drink.
No, that's the other problem you got. Your husband drinks. And
no, he doesn't drink. My husband doesn't drink. Phil, thank you very much. This is pointless.
Well, it's pointless because you don't understand no straight man. Let me ask him. Steve, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Okay, Steve, are you gay?
No.
I'll give you a free steak dinner if you'll say you're gay.
No.
There you go.
Oh, that is such...
All right, Bobby. She's gone. 877-876-7445. What's the thinking behind that?
The thinking is very simple, Phil. If a guy comes into my restaurant and I say, free steak dinners for all gay men tonight, he's going to have to say, for a free steak dinner, I'm gay. Now, if he says that, he's going to be afraid that for the rest of the night, everyone's going to see him as gay. No women are necessarily going to hit on him. Other gay men will look at him and find him attractive. His whole evening will be ruined because the perception of him, even though he's getting his free steak dinner, is that he is nothing more than a quivering, leaping queer.
Will you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry.
God.
I'm sorry. I forgot. No, but, you know, people are going to see him as nothing more than a swish.
And why can't you just say gay?
Because it's the kind of... straight guys don't just think gay. They think of swish. They think every, is swish. So no way he's going to do it. Not even for a free steak dinner is he going to do it.
I would.
Oh, you're a liar. You are.
I'm telling you I would.
You are a liar. Tell everyone you're lying.
No, I'm not going to tell everyone. If I knew you were going to have free, you're giving away free steak dinners to gay guys.
All right, well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you this. For a free steak dinner, would you kiss another man on the lips?
I probably not. No.
Are you
testing people that way?
If it comes down to guys like you coming in and trying to pull that, guess what? I'm going to have you kiss. I'm going to have to fry the gay. I think one of the guys who works in the kitchen is. I'll say kiss him on the lips.
What if he doesn't want to be kissed on the lips?
He's gay. Why?
Same reason why not every woman is going to want to be kissed by a straight guy.
Oh, well, what, is he married to another dude? Oh, my God, Henry. Think about that. Oh, I'm married to a dude.
I thought you were pro-gay rights, man.
I am.
Then why are you mocking people?
Well, I mean, you're going, the guy's not going to want to kiss me because maybe he's probably got a boyfriend. Ooh, I don't want to... What's the matter?
You sound like an idiot. You don't sound like you really respect gay people.
I do respect gay people immensely.
As long as they're coming into your restaurant to eat.
I just got done telling you, I'm giving them a free steak dinner!
Wow, man.
Boy.
Wow. Woo! I don't know whether he is emotionally capable of continuing with this interview, but we'll continue anyway. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Giving away free steak dinners to any and all gay people, lesbians, gay men at his restaurant all through the weekend in a statement of support for gay people and in a statement of opposition to Chick-fil-A, which he says is quote-unquote slop. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, you did it.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Listen, we are giving away free steak dinners to gay people only. If you're straight and you are going to fake your way into being gay, guess what? You're going to have to prove you're gay. I don't know what any other way to do that.
Well, all right. So you're saying now you're going to test people.
No, I'm not going to test people because I'm sure there's not one straight guy out there that's going to want to sit in a restaurant all night and look all gay. You know what I mean?
Well, no. What about a guy that doesn't have any problem with it?
What guy is that? See, the whole point here, Phil, is to give free steak dinners to gays and lesbians and not some straight guy pretending he's gay. Now, if you're telling me that a straight guy is so desperate for it, well, it is, it's a Ted Bell. Okay, I understand.
It's one of your steak dinners.
I know. No, you're right. It's a Ted's Beverly Hills steak dinner. It's a, that's a whole other experience. But I'm not buying it. No, I'm not buying it.
You could have some people coming in this weekend. Hi, I'm gay. And maybe they got their friend and...
Really? Okay, well, then they're going to force me into it. They're going to force me into making them prove it.
All right, 877-876-7445. Talking to Ted Bell here about the Dan Cathy statement from Chick-fil-A that... If that says he's in favor of family values, that means that they're against gay marriage, they're against gay marriage. Here is John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, hey, Phil. Hey, Mr. Bell. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So you just said that you are for gay marriage, correct?
Get table four. Thank you. Did I say what, sir?
You are for gay marriage, then. Is that correct?
I support it all.
All of it.
Yes, sir.
You support gay marriage. Then I'm going to make a call for all heterosexual people who are against gay marriage to boycott your restaurant.
Doesn't bother me.
What do you think of that?
It doesn't bother me at all because I I don't mean any disrespect, but you're just some guy on a phone. You know, I mean, my restaurant's been in Beverly Hills for over 30 years, so I've got a ready-made custom, you know.
Well, what do you mean it doesn't bother you, though? That man has said that he is boycotting your restaurant.
Yeah, but it's no big deal.
I mean, if the gays are going to boycott Chick-fil-A, why shouldn't the heterosexuals boycott your restaurant for your beliefs?
I'm not saying heterosexuals shouldn't get married.
No, but you're
why
saying
you
gays should
me?
Get married.
Oh, I didn't know heterosexuals had a problem with that.
Who don't agree with that, and they hear you say that, and they don't want to
I thought you said that I was going to keep heterosexuals from being married. I'm not doing that.
No.
Well, that's the issue.
No.
Nobody's keeping heterosexuals from doing anything, but heterosexuals want to keep gays from doing something. See what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, what is your problem? You know, what's your problem? You got to control everybody and everything. You got marriage. Have fun with it. And now you got to, you know. So that's why I said. And the good news for me, because I got to tell you something, John, if I'd have gone into Chick-fil-A and had one of the best chicken sandwiches of my life, I'd feel very strange right now saying, you know, don't go, but the food there, I swear to God, I should go in and see if I've gotten parasites.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm telling you the truth. I should go into the doctor and see if I've got intestinal parasites. That's what I am.
All right, well, what the gentleman's point, though, is calling for a boycott.
Yeah, this is what he'd be calling for. A boycott of me because I don't like heterosexuals not allowing gays to be married. What is that? That's like a long run to get nowhere. I'm not saying anybody should not be allowed to marry. So what's his problem with me?
The gentleman disagrees with the idea of gay marriage because of religious reasons.
Oh, well, you know. Have fun, sir. But you are welcome to come to my restaurant. You may want to boycott me, but I'd love you to come in. Please don't claim you're gay, you know, which I don't think you would. But this is my point. You think this guy is going to claim he's gay?
No.
Okay.
Anything else, John?
Okay, Ted. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Judd.
You bet.
Have a
nice
very Christian
evening.
Gentleman, and thank you very much. Yeah. You know, look, Phil, I mean no harm to anyone, but if you're straight and you come into my restaurant thinking you're going to get a free steak dinner, you better prove it, and you better prove it in a graphic manner. And
well, what does that mean?
Well, don't worry about it.
877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Chris. Hi, Chris. Chris,
yeah,
you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little upset here. I never heard anything like this in my life. You keep putting words in this guy's mouth. All he said was that he believed in the traditional family, and now you're saying he doesn't want gays to breathe, and he doesn't want this and that. What kind of a...
No. He said that if that means I don't believe in gay marriage, then no, I don't believe in gay marriage. That's what he said.
But then you said... Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
You're putting down the guy's food, too. You know, just
it's
like out of his shoe.
It stinks. It's lousy food. What do you want me to say? Lie? You want me to lie?
I got a whole bunch of people working for me, and I pick up food from them at Chick-fil-A, and they like it, you know.
Well, I don't understand. What is okay? So you got a lot of people right off the boat. You got some people off the boat
So they're Mexicans.
But they don't know what good food is. They don't know what good food is.
They're Mexicans, all right. So what? You know, and then how could you be in business?
And you are too, probably.
Well,
you got to be Mexican too if you like that food.
No, I'm not Mexican, but how could?
Well, do you like Chick-fil-A? Do you like Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, you know,
all right. Well, then you're Mexican.
All right.
Let me tell you something. How could you be in business for 30 years with that cheesy song that you got there that you play it to be? Ted at Beverly Hills. And you say,
how is it you can fake being heterosexual for as long as you have? We all do what we do.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I think this guy's full of it.
Oh,
I know you agree that Chick-fil-A is garbage. You feed it to the Mexicans because they'll eat it. That's what you do. That's what people like you do. And I find it to be very unfair and wrong of you.
I went to school for 5 years at Burdine University, and I studied, and I got to where I went, and now there's this other guy, and he's out there, and he's doing his thing, and he's got his restaurants and everything else. I think everybody should be allowed to have their opinion.
Well, yeah, well, they can have their opinion, but when you tell me that food's only fit for illegal immigrant Mexican day laborers, you've already said it.
No, he didn't say that. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Exactly what he said.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Hold on. The world famous Phil Hendry Show here, and a very, very pleasant Friday night to you. Ted Bell is on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, listen, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you're gay, you get a free steak dinner. And you know what? The Olympics have just started, Phil, and we're going to be rooting on the USA basketball team. Let's go for the gold again. I will accept nothing less than a gold medal. And, you know, to that end, Phil, I wanted to say something about the USA basketball team. I just saw LeBron James. I just saw Kobe Bryant, two great basketball players. I saw that LeBron James was part of a bronze medal winning team. That is an absolute disgrace. And as a prominent businessman here in the United States, I'm going to say again, that's a disgrace. I want people to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills, support the rights of gay people to be human beings and not animals that are thrown into an oven. And
Come on, man. I mean, you're really saying some crazy things.
Well, I think figuratively that's what people want to do. Support gay people. And on top of that, come on in here to Ted's of Beverly Hills and let's tell the USA basketball team that we expect nothing less than the gold medal every time they touch the floor. And if they think they're going to get away with bronzes and silvers, that is going to cause civil disturbances. Now,
no, I will not endorse a statement like that.
Well, I don't mean that literally, but I want them to know. What do you mean you want to endorse?
I'm not going to endorse a statement that says there's going to be civil disturbance if they don't win a gold medal.
Oh, okay, well, all right. You go right ahead and do whatever you need to do, Phil, but I can tell you, I don't mean literally, Phil. I understand. I don't mean literally, but we have to put the fear of God himself into these guys and say, who do you think you were playing for? Who do you think you are? You're the USA basketball team. Do you think that a bronze medal, we're going to run out in the street and be happy about that? If you come home with anything less, don't come home. I mean that.
Why are you so... Why do you...
Are you crazy? Do you remember when the Russians robbed us in 72 when we were still playing amateur? Do you remember all the years? Do you remember all of the pain? Do you remember all the struggle? Do you remember all of the things that we had to go through to get... We finally got our pros out there on the floor, and they wind up getting a bronze?
You know what? I can end this segment early, Ted, if you're a little put out.
No. Phil, I just want people to know I feel very strongly about this country, and I feel very strongly about the rights of people. I want our team to do well in the Olympics, and I don't want gays, if you'll pardon me for saying this, and maybe I shouldn't, but I would rather not see gays slid into ovens.
And nobody is saying anything of the sort.
I think when you start going down the road, oh, well, you don't get to have that right, and you don't get to have that right, and you don't get to have that right, I think...
You are cheapening and mocking an actual historical event, and I won't have you do that.
Well, Phil, I don't like being...
You are cheapening and mocking an actual historical event, and I won't have you do that. I understand that it's a bad situation. We're going to try to make it better. We're dialoguing this country. That's what we do, okay? But for you to say something like that...
Oh, boy.
That's right, Ted. 877-876-7445. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to have that kind of hyperbole. Here is Bob on the Phil Hendry Show. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I just can't believe that this is a real person that runs a business. It's when
I beg your pardon.
You when people are trying to say something that you don't agree with, you go and attack them, and you were making derogatory statements about gay people until Mr. Hendry went and told you to stop it. So
what,
you know
what derogatory statement did I make about gay people?
I'm not gonna say him, but I.
You
I
used
know
the
for
Q word.
And...
You said the Q word.
No. What you're missing is I was characterizing. I was saying that's what bigots would say. They would say the guy is a limp-wristed. You know what?
Well, you sounded like a bigot to me when you were.
Well, that may be, sir,
that.
But that's not my fault. That's not my fault.
Well, it's you should have said, Ted, that I think you should have expressed it in such a way as to make it very clear you were talking about what bigots would say, but you didn't. You just went and said, and they look like a bunch of limp-wristed you-know-whats. Even I, at the time when I heard you say that.
All right, well, I apologize, all right? I apologize.
Okay, but I mean, when you say that, it's going to cause people to think that you're full of crap.
I'm not full of crap. I'm not. I just got done being ripped up an ass by you because I said that I don't want gay people. You know, I brought up the Holocaust, and you didn't want me to do that. Okay, I understand.
I think it's a terrible thing to do. Terrible. Because there was actually a real Holocaust. People really suffered.
All right. But that's a far cry from saying that and saying I'm a bigot.
I think you're just on a bandwagon and trying to get your 15 minutes of fame it'll be a cold day before I would step foot and eat in your restaurant.
Well, I'm giving away free steak dinners to gays. And
well,
I assume that means the statement from you means you are gay, but you're not going to come into my restaurant. Okay, fine.
I'm fighting for your rights.
Know,
when somebody has something to go up against you, you get derogatory and you attack them. And in no way, shape, or form am I gay. If anybody's
all right.
gay, it's
how
probably
am I supposed
you.
To know that? How am I supposed to know that? How
oh,
am I supposed to know
well,
that you weren't gay?
Well, how do I know you aren't?
I don't know if you know that. You just said that I may be. I'm asking you, how am I supposed to know that you weren't gay?
How about his opinion, Ted?
Well, he was knocking me. He wasn't expressing an opinion. He was knocking me. He was saying I was a bag of... something that fell out of the rear end of a cat. And
no, he never said that. Boy, you know, you...
Well, he's, you know, sir, you know, with all due respect, I respect you, you respect me, but you think I'm a piece of something that fell out of a horse's ass, right? Of course you do. And I am giving away free steak dinners to gays, and I said to you, would you like one? And you automatically think I'm saying derogatory. I want gay people to have rights. The same rights as you and me. And if you're gay, I want you to have those rights. If you're not, then you already got those rights.
Yeah.
Come on in, have a steak dinner.
They went and said, I'm not going to come in, even
all
if
right.
it was for free. I'm not going to come
right,
in
sir.
To your restaurant.
You go right ahead. You go to Chick-fil-A. You go to Chick-fil-A and strangle on the food they have there. And, you know.
Strangle on the food they have there.
That's right.
Well,
right,
if I can find any of this conversation on YouTube or some media and let people I know listen to it, they exactly will feel the same way as I am, that you're just getting your 15 minutes of fame and jumping on the bandwagon.
Sure. I can tell you this much. I can tell you this much, Bob, right? Bob, I'm Ted Bell. Now, my name may not mean anything to you because, well, I live and work in Beverly Hills, California. When I go down the street and I say, I'm Ted Bell, people know who I am. And when Ted Bell says that Chick-fil-A's food tastes like it was rubbed on someone's, you know, anus, then...
Boy, oh boy, Ted.
What?
That, you know, we get it that you don't like their food.
I'm telling you, as Ted Bell, if I say that.
All right. This man doesn't know you.
Yeah, I gathered. He doesn't know me. Otherwise, he'd be in eating in my restaurant, and he would avoid Chick-fil-A like lepers are preparing the food over there.
No, somebody with your kind of attitude and the way you think about things is I just can't come. I couldn't stoop to a level like that to go to a restaurant and support you. That
no, but you would rather go eat at a. All right. But you'd rather go eat at a restaurant where lepers prepare it. Okay.
Boy, I'll tell you, Ted, you know, you've made some statements about Chick-fil-A that are absolutely outrageous. Talking about lepers preparing their food. Tastes like someone rubbed it on their you-know-what. You know
what? Well, you know what? They're the ones that are against the rights of human beings to live and breathe. Get it?
Okay, look, Bob, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, go ahead and laugh. I can hear both of you guys. You guys think it's funny.
Bob, thank you very much. I'm going to let you go. 877-876-7445 here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
You guys think it's funny, and as I express myself in the only way I know how, Phil, I'm a restaurateur. I'm a restaurant owner. I'm not a DJ and a big, I don't give speeches. I'm not doing an oratory in the park. I'm not, all I know is this. Gay people in this country have the right to, you know, to do what they, to go to Chick-fil-A and or whatever. They're not keeping them out of Chick-fil-A, are they?
No, they're not keeping them out of Chick-fil-A. The owner of the restaurant.
All right, okay. If they want to, I'll just tell gay people, if you want to go to Chick-fil-A and you want to eat a sandwich that may have been prepared by a leper. And
these comments I'm not going to allow anymore. I'm going to dump them because you're saying it on purpose. You're saying it to plant a seed in someone's head. You're being outrageous.
Nobody's going to believe I mean it literally. I'm just saying it tastes like it. Tastes like it. Okay? T-A-S-T-E. Taste. Taste it as, you know, with the S on the end. Tastes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Tastes. You understand it?
I understand. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He says that Chick-fil-A's food is lousy and their attitude is lousy. Come eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's giving away free steak dinners to all gay people to come in there this weekend. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back with more from Ted Bell.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
With Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills taking phone calls tonight on Chick-fil-A and their stand on gay marriage. Ted in Beverly Hills giving away free dinners to gay couples.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Because I got it, Ted's of Beverly Hills, if you're gay and only if you're gay, and I know a great many of Bill's listeners, well, I don't know if they are. There's gay people everywhere. Come on into Ted's of Beverly Hills for a free steak.
Where you want to put our meat in your mouth.
What about that tagline there?
What about it? Oh, you know something? Why don't you grow up, okay? Why don't you grow up?
What about the tagline?
Why don't you grow up? Just grow up.
877-876-7445. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, we were talking about gay rights. You have come on the program to say that you are... offering free meals, you believe in equal rights for people. I think that's all very admirable, Ted. You've gone on to say that Chick-fil-A, you've made some statements that have been over the line.
See, I don't understand that, Phil. If I'm in favor of gay rights and you're telling me I'm going over the line, then there are an awful lot of people in this town, especially in the entertainment business, that are going to want to know your name. There you go. And it won't be for anything good. Because as you know, the entertainment business in Hollywood and in Beverly Hills and West Hollywood and Inglewood and places where the studios are, like there's a studio there in Culver City, so it's not Hollywood anymore. Burbank, Culver City.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
That's Hollywood.
Okay, that's fine. What about it?
I just wanted you to know that we've got studios in Burbank.
I know where the studios are, okay? So that's all Hollywood.
Right. And I think that a lot of it, Phil, you don't have to get upset with me. Don't kill the messenger for the message, okay? Don't kill the messenger who is saying equal rights for everyone. And come into Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you can avoid Chick-fil-A, and you'll be avoiding, all right, you don't want me to say it. You know?
I you have no basis to say the things you've been saying.
Are they denying the rights of gay people to be married?
Yes, they are. Their owner is. Okay?
Oh, well.
Okay, but that's got nothing to do with the food.
If you want your stomach pumped, and I've got basic experience on that.
Yeah. That, so you got it in, and that's what I'm finding fault with. You don't like their food. You don't like the taste. You think maybe you have mites, but you're not sure. You think maybe you need to get your stomach pumped, but you're not sure. All of this stuff is designed to go over the top. That's what I'm saying. Why don't you just make the statement?
Are you done yet? Because you've just been going... I thought I bought the airtime here.
I got to get this point out, and I've not been allowed to make this point.
You've been talking a blue streak since you went on the air.
Since you've been on the air, I haven't been able to say what I wanted to say, which is simply that you are going over the top with your comments.
I don't understand.
That lepers prepare the chicken sandwiches. That you wouldn't be surprised if you had stomach mites.
I wouldn't.
That you had to go get your stomach pumped. That the food tastes like it was in someone's sweat sock worn on the foot of an individual with rampant athlete's foot, I think you said.
No, I said impetigo. But you want to know something?
And you know, that's what I mean.
But you want to know something, Phil? In defense of the rights of human beings and the liberties that our forefathers and that our fathers and our grandfathers fought for on the beaches of Normandy, on the beaches of Anzio Beach, Italy, on all of the battlefields that they fought and they died, and what do you want to do? You want to sit there and get all kissy-poo with this guy, Kathy. Ooh! You know.
That's what you were doing, and that's why that guy said that you were anti-gay.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly right. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, sir. Thanks.
Oh, I was making a comment.
Because of the thing you just said. Yes, sir, Ray. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to make a comment. He said about Chick-fil-A and his food. Well, I'm from the South,
sir.
And we have some good food down here. Okay.
Well, that's what Henry said. That's what Mr. Henry said.
And all that. But my next question is, I got two friends.
I wouldn't know about Southern food.
Well, I got two friends, and they're gay.
That's it?
Okay.
Just two friends.
Two friends. They work in construction, so you wouldn't know that they're gay. So if they walked in your restaurant, how would you prove they're gay without offending them?
Well, if you say that they work in construction, but you wouldn't know that they're gay, what does that mean? Not all gays are swishy. Is that what you mean? No, I understand that.
I'm just asking, how would you find out they're gay without offending them?
I'll tell you. First of all, your friends that are gay, they have short hair and they wear mustaches, don't they? Yes, they do.
No.
So right away, don't say they
can't wear a mustache in the plant.
What's that?
Can't have mustaches in plants.
In plants?
Yes.
I live in Louisiana.
No, man. He's talking about an industrial plant. You're working in a factory or a plant, correct, Ray?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I would take their word for it, but and I'd be right, wouldn't I?
Well, how would you know? Just by looking at them.
I would take their word for it. I would take their word for it. If they're straight, if they're lying to me, then they run the risk of having to sit at a table for the entire night while I spread the word to everyone in the place.
So wait a minute, you would go around and tell them that tell everyone in your restaurant that they are gay?
Yes.
Why?
What?
Why would
because
you have
they
that
are.
Right? Why would
because
you have
people
that right?
would want to know, are you serving them free? You know, people would be asking me,
so,
and
so
I want to make sure
so
that there's
so
truth in advertising.
So you're saying gays are welcome to your restaurant, but you're going to tell
of
everybody
course.
In the restaurant, hey, these people are gay. So these
well, sure,
other
think
people
about it.
Can go up there and talk about them while they're eating at your restaurant?
Well, hold on. So you got to think about this.
I mean, that
sounds really,
pretty
because
bad,
I've got, if I'm going to give the guy a free meal, don't I need to know that he's gay? Of course.
Well,
so
I
already
mean,
he's made the
statement.
But
that don't
give
you the right to go around and tell all your other customers, correct?
Hey, what if they ask me, well, what if they ask me, hey, what are you doing giving them free meals? And I'll say, because they're gay.
Well, why would they?
Well, I see this gentleman's point, though. You know, it's one thing to say if you're gay, you get a free meal. The person who says that they're gay, that's their choice.
What?
No, hold on for a minute. That's their choice. Now, they go in, they get a free meal. Okay?
Well, you got to say if you want the free meal.
Well, what if you're gay and you don't want to say that you're gay? You go ahead and you pay for the dinner.
No, because I'm going to know you're. There's no way that's going to happen.
Why wouldn't there be?
I know they're gay.
How do you know they're gay, man? That's what this man's asking.
Why wouldn't... Are you telling me I don't
what
know?
What I'm asking
are you
is,
me,
how would you go by finding out they're gay without offending them?
Well, that's not what we're at. What do you mean without offending them? Look, if they want one of my
you
free steak dinners, they're going to have to prove
and,
it.
Well, how would you
I'd
ask them to prove it?
You've got to have to kiss each other with tongue.
Oh, what a child.
What?
What
so
a childish
sit
thing.
You're going to watch them kiss each other with tongue?
How else, you asked me to prove it, because you're going to be sitting there, this gentleman Ray, you're going to be there with your wife or whatever, and you're going to say, how come Bella's giving a free dinner to those guys, and I'm going to say they're
well,
gay, and you're going to say,
any
how
of
do
their
you know?
Business?
And, what's that?
Why would it be any of their business?
Any of whose business? Your business?
No,
why
no,
would it
no,
be
no.
Any
hold on, for hold on.
Business?
Hey, Ray, hold on. I haven't heard anybody get Ted tongue-tied tonight except for you, so hang on the line. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. I'm all tongue-tied.
Just hold on, because this guy's asking some good questions. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, sure. Are you kidding me? I just think... Hey, Henry! Oh, Henry!
What?
Are you telling me that guy has got the better of me? That guy works in a plant, in a tomato plant.
In a real plant.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly. Listen, we've got a great steak dinner at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We don't serve a chicken sandwich that is not the best tasting. I understand, Mr. Henry. You know,
you've eaten at Chick-fil-A how many times?
I told you, you know, Phil, I got to tell you, I don't want to lose my temper.
Well, the only guy that's going to lose his temper here is me, Ted, because I think you're making some statements. As I said, you're engaging in a kind of a hyperbole, and you feel that you can because Chick-fil-A has been in the news.
No, that's not why. Because Chick-fil-A's in the news, I can tell the truth as I see it about them. Their food is strictly for people that have, anybody that would eat a Chick-fil-A has no real good, they don't have no good, not no good taste, but they don't have good taste in food. The food that they eat, the food that you eat, if you eat a Chick-fil-A, I'm sorry to say this, but you must be used to eating, like, a lot of this.
You're whispering what?
No, never mind.
Yeah, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show here. Let's go to Patricia. Hi, Patricia. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. On the East Coast compared to your
good
West
morning,
Coast.
Good morning, Patricia. Ted Bell here. How are you doing?
Yes, Mr. Bell. I will be polite with you. I had an uncle who had started up a restaurant, but he used different words. He described his food for the flavors that it had, not derogatory about the other restaurateurs in town. And what he did was he brought a lot of people in. He said, if you don't like the flavors of my food, you don't have to pay for it. That included families, full meals for families. We have large families. So anyway, a lot of people came in. A lot of people loved the flavors. My family and myself, we also went. We didn't pay for our meal because we were related. But we had different food served to us than the locals had served to them. And in the night, I had decided, I asked my mom and dad, could I stay with Uncle Roger and Aunt Margaret? And it was allowed. What I learned was his food was so flavorful, many of the people were asking where he got his meat from. And you remind me of my uncle, who was kind of loud, but he wasn't foul-mouthed. And he wouldn't tell them. His restaurant lasted maybe a little bit better than 4 weeks because he ran out of human flesh. He was selling meat the way you are talking, very brash, to have people come and buy it. He was saying it was the best. It was the sweetest meat. It's because he was slicing up human beings that the mafioso brought up. He came from Portugal, okay? We're talking about...
Well, that's a very nice fairy tale. That's a very nice fairy tale. No one's believing it. And for you to make up a story like that, for you to make up a story like that just to insult me, see, the food that we have, I serve my dinners to movie stars.
Listen to yourself. I don't
care about movie stars. Movie stars. People that can afford anything.
Meat is the greatest. There's something wrong with it. Other than that,
something wrong. You come from a family where they serve human flesh and there's something wrong with me?
No, I don't come from that family. He was married into my family. He was from Portugal.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Careful what you...
Of course. Madness runs in your veins. Madness runs in your veins, ma'am, and I cannot take any advice from you.
She's saying that there was a member of her extended family, in-laws...
I know. I hear what she's saying. What's that got to do with... We're talking about reality here. We're talking about gay people...
Something wrong with your food. What's wrong with your food? You're afraid to say what's wrong with your food. You're not
nothing wrong with my food.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with my food because you don't like it, which means it must be good.
And so foul-mouthed, there's something wrong. You want to sell your food.
You're the one.
You are so
You're on here talking about cannibalism. Just because you hate gay people, doesn't mean you have to start talking about eating them.
Oh, come on, will you?
That's what she's doing.
You are pushing your meat too hard. You're pushing
I'll push my meat. Don't worry about it. You want me to push my meat.
Okay, watch it.
I believe you're maybe doing something underhanded and underminded. When you put in people's minds to think of a certain smell or a certain taste, and you're doing that, I couldn't go to bed listening to you talk like that, and I was enjoying listening to shows, and all of a sudden I wake up and I hear all this auditory language, and I'm saying, he sounds like Uncle Roger.
Show that you're the one that brought up all of this disgusting stuff about your sick family, not me.
Said about the other restaurateurs of disgusting stuff. It must have hit home somewhere, sir. If it wouldn't have hit home, you wouldn't.
You know, if I were you,
out from it.
I'd call Chick-fil-A if you want to talk about who's carving up human flesh.
Oh boy.
Spur up to your face, sir, because there's something wrong with your food that you are serving. And you are
The only thing wrong with my food is I don't have enough of it because I've got people beating the doors down to get that prime rib on Sunday.
Filthy mouth you have, I wouldn't even want to touch the doorknob that you touch.
Ma'am, we have a slogan that you find dirty, but we mean it in terms of food. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Making derogatory remarks about other people who are trying to have a living. Something may have happened. I have no idea about this Chick-fil-A. I live in the remote woods in northern Maine. I'm talking about. When I hear somebody like a car salesman with a foul mouth, I know it's a global lemon.
Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why madness runs in your family is because you're from the woods of Maine. If you've got someone serving up human beings, that's strictly motel hell.
I was a little child. I was a little child, and I listened, and I learned a lot of things in the world. And you are either on the outside trying to get in because you really have no cooth. It shows the kind of food you have, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you come across. It is so vulgar. It is so revolting. I couldn't even think
I'll tell you what.
Say about your flavor. You couldn't talk about
the flavorfulness,
your food
my food. You've been talking about flavors, and that's put me off.
There and
that's
really
put me off.
About somebody else. And I'll bet you have a hard time to hold chefs at your restaurant.
I didn't understand what you just said. Do you? You know, you've been living in the woods too long. I didn't understand that at all. And
all right, Ted? Look, the lady is saying, and I think she's making a point.
Low wages. What? You pay high wages.
We pay very, very, very high wages, and
so
I shouldn't say this.
You do nothing but look at and live smut. That is what you smell. You know?
I enjoy a woman's form. Is there something wrong with that? Is it wrong of me to enjoy the form of a woman?
Have leprosy.
Around...
God gives you leprosy. Will you then say, forgive me,
up there in the woods, I bet you see it all up in the woods. Leprosy, cannibalism, all kinds of inbred people. I bet
you
got a one-eyed cousin.
Diseases.
You know,
using people who have diseases to tell about other people's food. What are you doing walking on people who have sicknesses that are having a hard time in life to live like that?
I don't want them making my chicken sandwich. I'll tell you that right now. They have no right at all to make a chicken sandwich for Ted Bell. And then you come on here and you start talking to me about how your uncle used to serve up dead babies.
Such a deadbeat man. You are so deadbeat. You're having to beat people to make yourself a name. You got 15 minutes.
You're the one that said your uncle served dead babies. You said your uncle served dead babies. Yes or no?
No, she didn't say that.
The hell she didn't. She said that there was some kind of a baby. There was some sort of a baby market, right?
No, she said she had a mafioso guy that was serving human flesh.
My mother's husband.
How did it taste?
I thank you very, very
much. That part of meat, because in the night, when I decided to stay with them for the night, I listened to him and Aunt Margaret talk about it. She was afraid people would find out. He was serving.
There we go, right there, Phil. She was a busybody little snot-nosed 4-year-old trying to get her uncle in trouble.
To him.
Listening
to him. Got a little bit of my background, but he doesn't have enough.
No right.
One.
You had no right to be over listening into the conversations of adults. You should have been.
Yes, I do.
I shouldn't say that.
God put me there so I would understand how crass people can be and how cruel people can be. And he made a lot of money, and he ruined a lot of restaurants here that had very good food because he was serving up the sweetest, the best tasting steak there was, and he was giving
it
away.
Yeah, I'll bet he was.
He was also making meatballs and spaghetti, and that man could cook. And you better be careful what you say about him. Because he was part of Mafioso.
He was part of Mafioso. Those guys come into my place all the time.
You'll be
bunch of nickel and dime punks. They tried to run me out of town once. No way, no way. Not Ted Bell. No. I love those punks. I eat them up and I spit them out. Send your uncle in, okay? I'll have a nice, freshly prepared baby for him.
You won't be saying that.
I'll tell you what. I've got baby steak all ready for your uncle.
Okay. Thank you. Very much, Patricia.
She's so full of crap, her eyes are brown.
Your husband. He come from Portugal.
That's great. Fantastic. You told me that for the fifth time now.
Your restaurant is done. There are too many strong Catholic people.
Your uncle couldn't cook his way out of an oatmeal bowl. And you're in Maine? Yeah, that Mafia Maine family's pretty strong. Years ago.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Patricia. Thank you, Ted. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. I can't keep on doing this. Let's take a break, because now all of a sudden I got no appetite, and usually I'm starved by this part of the night.
Why?
Why? Talking about human flesh? All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
No.
The Phil Henry Show.
At the London Olympics, watching it right now in our prime rib room. Come on over and have yourself a Ted, and have yourself a boil-wrapped baked potato.
We want a boil-wrapped baked potato.
Yeah.
We want a
put our meat in your mouth. And by the way, if you are gay, you can come on in here. You know, we believe in family values at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and that's why we are certainly interested in everybody to come into the restaurant and enjoy Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight or any night. We believe in family values because we at Ted's of Beverly Hills believe in people.
You see Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't like Paul McCartney, this is kind of one of my Ted-isms, if you don't like Paul McCartney, you don't like me, because I am a big, big fan of Paul McCartney. Outstanding musician and everything that he does.
All right, 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show. We're taking some more phone calls here. Before we get back to the calls, the question, to sort of reset here, Chick-fil-A... The owner, or the CEO, what have you, Dan Cathy, has stated that he does not want, that he doesn't believe in gay marriage. They said, if that means no gay marriage, then that's what I believe. Tonight you've said that his food is lousy, and...
yeah, that's what I've said. And I've heard a lot of people tonight say that my food is lousy.
Well, but you sort of took the conversation away from the statement. And really, are you saying people shouldn't eat there? Because of the philosophy the man has, or are you saying that people should just eat at your restaurant because you're friendly to all people?
I think, Phil, that they should eat at my restaurant because, yes, we believe in the rights of all people. Ted's of Beverly Hills stands for human beings. I don't know what Chick-fil-A stands for, other than chicken. They say they stand for family values, all right. If you take your family into a restaurant... Do you want them to have a good meal? Do you want the children to be... All right, you don't want me to say it, but I wouldn't want to take my kids anywhere where they may have an intestinal parasite. And
you don't know that that's true. That's the thing that I'm saying.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. I don't. All I know is what I tasted that day. It was a Sunday afternoon. All I know is what I tasted. And what I tasted like certain parts of China look. And I think you can...
Whatever that means.
No, don't give me that. You know exactly what that means.
No, I don't know what that means. No, I don't. 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line with us is Claire. Go ahead, Claire. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, hello, Claire.
Hi.
How are you?
I have something to say to you, and I'm going to try and say it in a way that I think hopefully you'll be able to listen.
Of course.
You said that people who eat Chick-fil-A, it automatically makes them Mexican. Is that right?
No. I said that I'm not surprised that day laborers that guy hired, some of whom are from Mexico and therefore are not used to a quality meal because there's a lot of, poverty there, would probably think Chick-fil-A is dining at the Ritz. Yes.
And you said Mexicans will eat anything and that's just why you can feed them that. And I want to say to you that my father is Mexican, and when you say that, you sound ignorant and ridiculous, because Mexican food is some of the most delicious food in the world, and if you don't realize that, then I don't know what you serve in your restaurant that you think is so special and makes you an authority on good food.
We're a steakhouse. Ted's of Beverly Hills, a longstanding steakhouse. We serve the finest cut of meat, And when you say, look, I know there's great Mexican food, but... Do you deny that there are certain dishes that are made with domesticated pets?
What does that mean?
What?
What?
I'm just saying, I heard that some of the tacos down there, the poor people use dog. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're thinking of, I don't know, Thailand, because in Mexico, my father is from Oaxaca, and they have beautiful dishes, chile de nogada in the fall, which is maybe one of the most beautiful dishes in the world. I don't know
I just heard Phil say right. What do you know about it, Phil?
I've gone to Mexico many times. I used to go every year. Every year, and Mexican food is outstanding.
Like what?
Like anything, man. Like the way they prepare steak. Like the way they prepare seafood. Like the way that they prepare their breakfasts, their lunches. I like Mexican food. Rice, plantain... all of the spices.
I don't know. I mean, most Americans want to come to Ted's of Beverly Hills and have a steak. Now, when I said Mexicans, what I meant was illegal people from probably Panama who come through Mexico and make us think that they're Mexican, which they're not. That's what I meant.
So you
now
meant Panamanian.
Reading your words. Now you're reading your words, because that's not what you said. I heard what you said. You said there are people fresh off the boat from Mexico, and you said if you like that food, then you're Mexican too.
Well, why wouldn't he admit that he's Mexican? See, he didn't want to.
He said that he wasn't.
Yeah, sure.
Well, why do you say yeah,
sure? Wasn't? Well, my boyfriend Craig is Chinese-American, and he does eat Chick-fil-A. And I find it hard to believe that you don't offer any kind of chicken option at your restaurant, and you think that
I don't trust it. I'm not going to—look, there's no guy in America, no American man, that's going to take a woman out for dinner and say, let's go get a chicken dinner. I mean, it's just—that's death right there. If you thought you had any shot with her, go ahead.
That doesn't mean you have ticks in your stomach if you eat Chick-fil-A, because it is good food, just because it's not your food.
Oh, wait a minute. You said it's good food? I disagree. I had a Chick-fil-A sandwich. It tasted like someone's foot. I brought it back. I said, would you make it again? They did. I got it again. It tasted now like 2 dirty feet. I took it back. They finally made one that tasted good, but by then I said, I'm going to throw it in the garbage anyway and tell everybody it was bad because you made 2 bad ones.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell everybody the third sandwich is bad?
Yes, because I had to suffer through 2 bad sandwiches to get a good one. Isn't that fair? I think it is.
No, it's you looking to give them a bad name. It's you looking to find something wrong with them. So you can, make your...
Anything that's competition is a problem, right?
No, not necessarily. But if a guy comes out like this guy Dan Cathy did and he said, gays, can't use them. Get them out of here. Put them on the boat and send them back to Gayland. And he didn't say that. I know that.
I didn't say that. I think it's great what you do for gay people. I don't think...
Thank you.
You shouldn't...
Well, why
shouldn't
can you,
make them
why can you have said that?
You shouldn't
why
have
can
make
you
them say that? In order to get a meal. And
well,
you shouldn't...
How are you going to prove they're gay? I mean, and then that lady calls in from Maine, from the backwoods of Maine, where for all I know she's got people hanging upside down in her barn gutted, and she's talking to me about cannibalism. God!
Okay, let's forget that lady. This woman is making a very good point. She's saying, Ted, it's good what you're doing for gay folks, but why do you got to run down a man's product, run down a man's entire business? Why not just disagree with the stance that he took publicly as an individual, by the way?
Well, look, everything that he says, everyone's going to think it's Chick-fil-A. He is Chick-fil-A. You know, when I say I'm Ted Bell, I mean my restaurant. I say I'm Ted Bell, I'm Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I'd much rather be Ted's of Beverly Hills than, hi, I'm Ted Bell, I'm Chick-fil-A. Yeah, right. Can you imagine that? You look like a real whore. You look like a chicken ass is what you look like. And so I apologize to the young lady. I didn't mean any offense to your family. I honestly didn't. But if I were...
You need to be careful what you say, then, if you don't mean to offend people. Because when you say things about people who have been persecuted enough, you don't need to say that on the radio when it hurts people.
Who? You mean Jews?
No, her father is Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know they were persecuted, but...
Yes. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much, Claire. 877-876-PHIL. Ted, thank you very much. We will have our News and Information Hour coming up next.
All right, I'm Ted Bell. Come on in. Don't forget, we got the all-day prime rib, and we got to be in the scuttle room. Shoot.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show to know what to talk about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're going too fast.
I'm sorry. I've been running too fast all night. It is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and it's good to be with you this evening. We are in our News and Information Hour, and that means you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the marvelous commentary that comes flowing forth from this here show.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is, of course, the time of the night where we'll take a look at different news stories. Some of them may be prevalent or prominent, and some may not, because we don't necessarily, on this radio show, we don't necessarily pick the news stories that perhaps the headline seekers or the headline grabbers would. the presidential campaign right now is fine. That's great. Romney, blah, blah, blah. Obama, blah, blah, blah. The conventions haven't even happened yet. And that's what everybody is waiting for. And that's what I think I'm going to wait for before we keep going on and on and on about these two guys that are running for president, one of whom already is. Now, Romney made his dumbass comments. He's moved on to Israel. Thank you very much. Now he's in Israel. God help us what he's going to say there.
Yeah, no kidding. He may even say, how much you think we can get? You know, he
you spit it out. What are you going to say?
Yeah, what are you going to say? No, well, he probably, you know.
Shut up, bud. Never mind. Never mind, you clown. Whatever Romney says in Israel, let's just hope it isn't a, you know, international incident. Okay. But until then, the conventions and so on and so forth and whatnot. And, of course, the conventions ain't going to be all that boogie-woogie, right?
Well, it said a lot of, like, the Democrat convention ain't going to be too good because a lot of Democrats not going to be there. They're going to be out campaigning. I don't know.
All right. Well, that may well be. This is also the time of night, however, that we bring out our New York Times front page. You know, I mean, I'm into that. And I have 100 years of New York Times, over 100 years of New York Times front pages. We have every New York Times front page that ever was, you know, up until 2008.
So you don't have all of them?
No, we don't have all of them. We have the, because this CD-ROM came out in 2008, and I haven't gotten it updated. I'm sure the New York Times has come out with one that has the current front pages, but I'm not all that interested in, wow, let's go all the way back to 2009.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was better some dumbass do that.
Maybe some people, like a kid for school, might, but I like to see the really old stuff. So tonight, as we always do, it is the 28th of July. It was the 27th of July. That's why I have the 27th.
Yeah, you said you're going to have it for the East Coast.
I forgot. But, all right, so this is July 27th that I've got here, and this is from the New York Times. But what is one of the articles? Well, in July of 1860, and that's the year that we're looking at, guess what was going on? Same thing that's happening right now. It was a presidential campaign.
There was?
Yes, there was a presidential campaign.
Sorry, dude. I didn't know they had a president then. What, are you an idiot, man? Who do you think George Washington is? Well, I know it's George Washington, but I didn't think they voted.
Well, what do you think they did, bud?
They had the Electoral College.
What a dummy.
Electoral College. Made up Electoral College?
The Electoral College is what you're talking about. The only way you determine who wins an Electoral College is if you take some kind of a popular vote, you numbskull. Some kind of a popular vote. Back way, way back in the very beginnings of the country, they polled, I believe, the state legislatures. That's how things were done. All right. In 1860, though, there was a presidential campaign going on, and one of the candidates was a guy by the name of, maybe you've heard about him, Abraham Lincoln?
No, never heard of him. Yes, I heard of him.
Okay. Now, here's a really interesting article. I've never heard of this before, and I don't think anybody's heard of this. Well, I shouldn't say that, but this is kind of interesting. It says, presidential campaign, July the 27th, 1860, New York Times. And this is a dispatch to the New York Times from their correspondent in Hartford, Connecticut. Great wide awake demonstration. The city is full of strangers tonight and great excitement prevails. Talking about Hartford. The Hartford wide awakes, numbering 509 men, turned out and in torchlight procession paraded on the park. They received the Newark wide awakes, numbering 300 at 10 o'clock, and accompanied by thousands, they marched through the city, entering the city hall at 11 o'clock. There, they gave a splendid banquet to their visitors. The hall was beautifully decorated by the ladies of Hartford. Tomorrow, there will be a grand parade, and in the evening, an immense torchlight procession with delegations from various places, numbering between 3,000 and 5,000 men. New York, Boston, Newark, and many Connecticut towns are represented here tonight. This is a grand affair, gotten up at great expense, and is the first big gun of the campaign. Who the hell are wide awakes?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is that, what is that?
I don't know. They're the wide awakes, man. I never heard of them. See, back at that particular time, though, the Republican Party was brand spanking new. I think it had only maybe had one election under its belt. It had been formed from another party called the Whigs.
Are you kidding me?
That's what they're not called, W-H-I-G. And the Whigs went to hell in a handcart. I guess they just didn't, you know. And the Republicans became the party. The Whigs were opposed to the Democrats, and and the Republican Party was the anti-slavery party.
What are you talking about? The Republican? Like Nixon Republican?
Well, Lincoln Republican. I mean, the Republican Party has changed as the Democratic Party has changed over the years. But, yeah, I don't think anybody is in favor of... I can safely say this. The Republicans have never believed in slavery. But Democrats have. So that's the Wide Awakes, man. I'm going to have to find out what the hell those guys are all about.
What else on there?
That's about it, man. But it was a big, obviously it was a big year, 1860, because within a year the country would be in a civil war. And there would be a new president. His name would be Abraham Lincoln. And he would go down in history as one of the greatest presidents ever. And I can tell you something that Dorothy Goodwin said, who wrote the book Team Arrivals. We had her and we interviewed her on the show. She said that by the time Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated and the legacy of that man began to find its way into history, he was world-renowned. By the turn of the 20th century, he was world-famous. I didn't know that. I knew he was big in the United States, and I knew that he was probably big in Europe. But in Asia, in Russia, and she told the story of a Leo Tolstoy was the brilliant Russian writer, Leo Tolstoy, who wrote War and Peace, and a great many other famous novels, a brilliant writer, one of the legendary writers of all time. But Leo Tolstoy was in the Caucasus Mountains, and he was talking to the tribespeople who lived there, these Russian tribespeople at the turn of the 20th century. It was the early part of the 1900s. And he would go up there to tell them stories. They liked storytelling. A lot of them were illiterate.
What about TV?
They didn't have TV then, you idiot.
Hey, man.
Watch it. Hey. It is a pretty stupid statement, Robert.
Well, I don't know.
What an idiot.
Hey, man. Watch it, man. They didn't have TV, okay? So Leo Tolstoy would travel to these different hamlets, these burgs, these places where these outlying areas of the Russian Empire, and he would tell stories to the tribespeople. And he ended one night telling a story, telling a variety of stories. Finally, the tribal chief, whoever, said, tell us stories of great people. We want to hear stories of great people, people that are famous in history, people that are famous around the world. Tell us about it. So Tolstoy had to really dig into his memory bank, and he starts telling about Napoleon, and he told stories of Julius Caesar, and he told stories of the great kings, Henry VIII, and so on and so forth. He told stories of Ivan the Terrible and people from Russian history. And at the end, though, this chieftain said, and Tolstoy recorded this, he said, you haven't told us about the greatest of them all. You haven't told us about the man who won the freedom of so many people, the greatest of them all, Abraham Lincoln.
You're kidding.
No. And so Tolstoy, who knew a lot about Abraham Lincoln, launched into this description. But he noted this because he was amazed that Lincoln had achieved such, not only, such fame, worldwide fame, but almost like legendary. Because here are these people way off in the mountains of Russia. They're nowhere near any big cities or libraries. And yet the stories of this man, this great man, Abraham Lincoln, made its way all the way into the...
Like the backwoods of Russia.
Yeah, the hillbillies.
Yes, the Russian hillbillies knew about him.
Pretty big, man. I don't know Russia had no hillbillies.
Oh, yeah. Russia's got hillbillies, man. Still do, as a matter of fact. All right, so there you go. Let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll get into, news that comes from today. I guess we beat Chick-fil-A into the ground, didn't we? The sandwich and the story. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-877. Look what happened to the TriCaster. What the hell is that, man?
Man, I don't know.
That is weird. Oh, that's the preview setup. I don't want to look at that. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. A couple of housekeeping items. You know, we're online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night. You can watch us perform our show as well as listen to it. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch us here at the El Pacifico. We have other little aspects of video production that we do here on our video cast. We will show, for instance, our, as I was mentioning, our New York Times front page. There it is. And I was actually showing, Bud, you were asking about...
Yeah, what are the films you were showing?
I had a film of, and I got that from the Spielberg archives at the Holocaust Museum. That was actually film footage of the United States Army liberating Paris, as well as the Free French Army. That was pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah, I don't know they even have that.
Yeah, they got a lot of... If you go to the archives over there, they got it all. I mean, some pretty... It's very dramatic stuff. I don't want to tell you. The internet is, for my money, the greatest thing that's happened because it's like having the world's library at your fingertips. No matter what you want to see, no matter what you want to find out about, you can, if you're smart enough, you know, not like you two dumbasses, the first time you land on some stupid-ass website that where they're making up stuff...
What?
Like the thing that you were looking at that time. What was that?
Dad, you thought all like the face on Mars?
It was the face on Mars.
It wasn't a face on Mars, man. And NASA finally figured it out. They took a picture of it. It's a rock.
Well.
Yes. See what happens, man, when you go to these stupid sites? The face on Mars. You know that one?
Yeah, it looked like a guy.
Looked like a guy. There's a fight of people know there was a photograph of a rock on Mars. It looked like a guy's face. It looked like a guy's face. You know, I don't know about anybody else. When I was a kid, I would lay on my back and stare at the sky and look at clouds, and they'd turn into things.
Like what?
Like dogs, like cats, like you never did that?
Uh-uh. No, I didn't live in a cloud anymore. I grew up, there were no clouds. It was hot.
Yeah, me too.
Will you shut up? Where I grew up, there was no clouds. You can see anything that you want to see when you see something, and when you see something, you see what you want to see. See?
Right.
All right. So that was the beginning of Bud's, I hope, re-education, man. What a nutcase. All right. Tonight, the Olympics began in London town, baby. And we saw, of course, that parade of fresh young faces. Everybody looked like they were really having a great time as they paraded around, you know, around the track. And, you know, no, they do not decertify countries, Bud. I don't know what you were talking about.
Well, I don't know it was still a country.
You didn't know that it was still a country. We were looking at Latvia. Why wouldn't that still be a country?
Well, exactly. If they have a country, you don't need it to be a country, you know?
You don't need it to be a country? Who makes that decision?
Well, say you got a country and there's no real need for it.
Well, isn't that up to the people that live there?
What about Canada?
What about Canada?
That there's no real need for it.
So anyway, Bud.
You don't know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, and the people of the country decide whether there's a need for the country. What about Canada? In one of thousands of pubs across London where surely tears mixed with laughter on Friday night, they might say that who is this? David Hawes in the wake of the news. I was gobsmacked by the Olympic opening ceremony. In a more proper English tea house, they might say, I quite fancied it. All over the world, they will remember this as the night Britain put on a show that was bloody fantastic. I've never been so proud to be British and part of the Olympic movement than at this moment, London Games chairman Sebastian Coe said. As you know, Sebastian Coe is a former distance runner on the British Olympic team. I remember seeing him run in Los Angeles back in 84. The typically understated Brits overwhelmed a global audience with a scintillating presentation that deftly blended artistry, majesty, and ingenuity. When was the Beijing Olympics?
What's that?
When was the Beijing Olympics? What do you mean, what's that? When was the Beijing Olympics?
In 1990.
No, you guys are full of it. I think Beijing was the last Olympics, wasn't it? Or was it someplace else?
The last Olympics they had was in...
in Korea.
No, it wasn't Korea. 2000, that was the last one. Thanks, Dan. The last Olympics, the last Summer Olympics was Beijing.
Oh.
Korea.
Well.
No, and don't tell me it's close. So, and I remember the Beijing Olympics as having this phenomenal opening ceremony. Remember that? It was like something out of, I don't know, man. It was like outer space or something. Didn't they have like people walking upside down and stuff?
Yeah, one time, man. It looked like they had people levitating and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that this is a beautiful thing, man. Witnesses understood why. The typically understated Brits overwhelmed a global audience with a scintillating presentation that deftly blended artistry, yada, yada, yada. Not even a confusing, anticlimactic lighting of the cauldron by seven British teenage future Olympians, a secret guarded with Buckingham Palace-like security, ruined the rare sporting spectacle that lived up to the hype. It ruined it, huh?
Yeah, did you see it?
Uh-uh.
It's a bunch of kids. They're stupid looking.
I don't know. Sure, I would have preferred Roger Bannister or Queen Elizabeth light the cauldron. Yeah, right, Queen Elizabeth. That would have been cruel. I mean, cool. Cruel and cool.
But is he going to run up there?
Going to get an old lady to run up there. But the inventive way organizers arranged young torchbearers, each nominated by a British Olympic legend, to ignite the tiny copper petals on the ground before converging into one flame, perhaps provided more apt symbolism for a country more united by these here games. Any reservations about the surprise ending vanished soon after. During the first chorus of na-na-na-na-na-na-na, when Sir Paul McCartney belted out the Beatle classic, na-na-na-na-na-na. One day...
No, it's Hey Jude.
I know, I'm just screwing around. One day, the roughly 80,000 people inside the Olympic Stadium will tell their own children and grandchildren how lucky they were to watch it. My list of indelible Chicago sporting memories typically starts with the Blackhawks... What is this guy, a Chicago writer?
Yeah, you got like the Chicago Times.
No, I got the Chicago Tribune. Anyway. My list of Chicago memories, he goes on to say this, that, this, that, this, that. But he says, even this is better than anything. In fact, I'm moving to London. Thank you very much. I'm Derek, David, Derek. I'm changing my first name to Derek.
You didn't say that.
Well, now he did. So people in Chicago are going to hate his guts. So it's the Olympics now. Jay Sandus was going to be on tonight with us, and we will have him on Monday night. He is going to talk about, Jay is going to be talking about the sort of the traditional excitement that we all have watching the Olympics, and whether we still have that, you know, that, hey, America, do good, you know.
Why wouldn't
we? Well, it seems like, you know, everything is all kind of global, and everybody's, like, wanting to see. I guess maybe we still want to see. I'm very traditional that way. I want to see the United States, like, win all the gold and stuff, you know. All of the gold medals. All of them. If we lose one, I'll be bitterly disappointed.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. But, And so this idea that, well, let's just hope for the best team. No, man. I'm not into that. I'm sorry. It's boring for me. And I've always said that the Olympics got super boring when the Cold War ended, man, because that's when the Olympics were great, man, when there was all this threat of nuclear, war. And the only way you could actually go toe-to-toe with each other and just grunt and get angry was the Olympics, whether it's hockey or there was basketball or something like that. And now it's over, and it's missing something, but... it won't be missing anything much longer if we just go out and beat the hell out of everybody, win every gold medal so everyone hates us, which I guess they already do. But we're worthy of it. That's what I want to see. I want to see us so dominate the Olympics.
That everybody, like, gives up.
That'd be cool if everyone quit.
Yes, if everyone just quits. America so dominates the Olympics, the next one, it's time for the Olympics. Forget it. You don't want to go? No. Yeah, we kicked ass. All right. Well, we got to call it off because everyone's chicken. All right. Anyway, I mentioned our website. Let me also tell you that our podcast is up and ready to rock and roll, baby. Episode 23 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast is available. Steve Bozell and the KY Jelly Refund. You got to listen to this one. It's the Free Phil Henry Podcast. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenry.
Not real Phil Henry.
No, not real Phil Henry, just Phil Henry. And then we, of course, have Phil Henry Fans, which is our fan page.
That it?
That's about it. We'll be right back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. And welcome back to the program. That's just a thing. That's his times. I'm looking at the screen here on Phil TV in HD. Karen, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, Phil. We are listening to you tonight. You were so funny tonight. Phil, this is Karen Deauville. How are you?
I'm good, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm just wonderful. I did some investigation, and had a great time listening to your show tonight. I did some investigation, Phil. And we looked up the wide awakes. We looked up the wide, didn't we, Jerry?
Looked up the wide awakes on Wikipedia, yeah.
I'll give Jerry the phone here in a minute because Jerry has some information. But we just wanted you to know, Herb, and I want you to know, we had such a great time listening to you tonight. It really was fun. It was just fun. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Had a very, very good time.
All right, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to be a bear. I don't want to be a bugaboo. I don't want to be a bugaboo, okay? That's a word Herb uses. Okay, here, Jerry.
Hey, Phil, Jerry Deauville, I wanted to tell you to find out about a wide awake and what they did.
Okay, these are the wide awakes that, what am I hearing in the background?
We're flying to Las Vegas tonight on Herb's jet.
You're in a jet?
Yeah, we're on Herb's jet, it's a private jet. Here's Karen.
Oh, no, I didn't tell you we're in a private jet tonight. You didn't know that we had that? We're flying to Las Vegas.
I didn't know you guys had a private jet. That's cool.
Yeah, no, right. Now, the wide awake, we're not on a private jet. That's just the sound of the turbine we got out back. We put a new washing machine in, and we're testing the turbine. It sounds like a jet. You really thought we were on a jet?
Did he buy it?
He did. He bought it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, we're not on a jet. That is some big machine that Herb and Jerry put in to try to help my dryer. What do we need? What is that?
It's all the suction. Now we're just cleaning it out.
Okay, that's great.
You're angry, aren't you?
No, I'm not angry. I'm not angry.
Yeah. So, Phil, we looked up the wide awake, and...
That is kind of loud, but go ahead.
We looked up the wide awake. The wide awake was a parliamentary group of Republicans back in the, it was back in 1860, like you were saying, okay? Just shut it down. Herb shut it down for a couple minutes while on the phone. Good. The wide awake was a parliamentarian...
Hold on for a minute. Are you telling Phil about the wide awake?
Yeah, I'm telling him right now.
Phil, this is the wide awake. Jerry did...
No, I know. He just told me.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm Jerry. You're Phil. The wide awake with a parliamentarian...
I'm sorry, Phil. I just want to say one thing. Can I say one thing, Phil? Can I send you food through the mail, darling?
Well, you don't want to do that.
No. I've made some cookies... And, you know, you're such a doll, and we really love your program. We wanted to know, can I? I would love to send you some cookies.
Okay, you can send me cookies. I usually don't eat food that's sent through the mail.
Oh, you know something? I understand. That's very, very smart. You know what I'll do? I'm going to knit you something. Herb said I should knit you something. What about a cap? What about,
Nothing like Ramada Man involves guys. He's got to be involved.
Jerry. Back it down a little bit. What about a cap, Phil?
Okay, look, can I talk to Jerry about the wide awakes?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, take a look.
She take a look there. So the wide awakes with the parliamentarian organization and...
One thing, Phil.
When am I going to be able to talk to him about the wide awakes?
I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay.
The wide awakes with the parliamentarian organization, as I was saying... And there were a great many other parliamentary organizations around the country that supported a great many other people. For instance, the Democrats had the Minutemen, the Southern Minutemen. There was the Stonecutters. There was the Azerbaijan III, the Dixie. I think they had the Dixie Mason, the Dixie Cats. They had the Kitty Wells fan club. And
what the what? These are all what?
These are all parliamentary support organizations for the either Republican or Democrat.
What do you mean the Kitty Wells fan club?
That was it. Well, yeah, there was one called the Kitty Wells Fan Club.
I know that. Phil, they did, but they didn't know. This wasn't the same Kitty Wells. This is not the singer. This was actually a woman named Kitty Wells who started this parliamentary support group. That's all.
Yeah. All right, so...
Okay, that's great. The Kitty Wells and the Azerbaijan III, and these are all parliamentary support groups for the political party.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly my point.
Okay, that's very interesting. I got to get going.
No, what about the food? You can't have food.
No, I would rather not.
Okay, well, we just love what you do. We just love what you do, and we want you to know that you are very big at our house. And also, I just, is Ray Sugarman going to, Ray Sugarman, who does a local radio show here, I said to him, I called his show the other night because I love Ray Sugarman. He does a lot of political stuff, you know. And I said, Ray, have you heard a man by the name of Phil Hendry? And he said, yes. And I said, well, we know, he said, I would love to have him on my show. Would you be interested in being on the Ray Sugarford show? Or
well, is, what's his name?
Ray, what is his name? Ray Sugarford?
Ray Sugarworth. Here, let me have it. Ray Sugarworth is a very big local talk show here.
And where do you guys live?
We're in Baltimore, Maryland.
All right, you're in Baltimore. Ray Sugarworth. Okay, sure, I'd like to be on his show.
Okay. Oh, good, 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 good. So we can have him contact you.
He can contact our show, yeah.
Ray Sugarford.
What's his name? Sugarford or Sugarworth or Sugarman?
What is his name?
Well, he goes by all
three. Oh, he goes by all three. It's very, very cryptic. I think he's one of these right wingers. You know?
No, I don't. He's a right winger?
Yes, I think he's very paranoid. So he has three names. You know, but you always know. Say, well, do you listen to Ray Sugarman? And they say, oh, I listen to Ray Sugarford. But we know it's the same man.
Okay. So why do you use different names?
Some people, why do they do that, Herb? Oh, some people like to use different names. So, first, I love Ray Sugarman. And Jerry, you call him what?
Sugarford.
Jerry calls him Ray Sugarford. But Ray Sugarford, Sugarman, Sugarworth, he goes by any of those names. I just like to call him Sugarman. I think it sounds more elegant.
Well, I like Sugarford, Sugarworth.
What do you call? So he called.
Okay, anyway, I got to get going. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sugarford.
That's a new one on me. I like this talk show host. What's his name? Ray Sugarford. Although some people call him Sugarman and some people call him Sugarworth. All right, thank you very much. And no, I don't eat any food that comes through the mail. I don't know anybody that really does. It's not, I guess it's just not the safest damn thing in the world. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and our podcast is up and ready to rock and roll, episode 23, so by all means, download the hell out of that. And I know it's very confusing out there, okay? It's very confusing out there. This is a whole new world of new media. There's only one problem with it. The radio universe itself, radio stations and syndication companies, they got their head up their ass when it comes to it. So as the result, there's all kinds of very confusing presentations. But I can assure you that the Free Phil Hendry podcast is the only podcast that we recommend. The others are really horrible, and they are produced by people of very suspect, you know,
they might be like criminals.
They could be criminals, yes, exactly. So don't go near anyone other than the Free Phil Hendry podcast. If it's called anything else, it could very well be from a criminal element. Unless, of course, it's your subscription to our website. That's the daily podcast, and that's heavy. All right, 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico. It's the end of another, boy, I'm so happy to see this week come to an end. I can't even begin to tell you. It's been a particularly, you know, I mean, they're all up and down. But this week has been a tough one. However, I think it's going to have a very good ending. And, well, I know for this one reason it's going to have a good ending. Tomorrow is, or today is, Saturday, so.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That's the best part, exactly. We're just going to check into a few other news stories here tonight for you. Like I said, the Olympics was dominating the news. And now, let's get over to Colorado, because this is just, you know, we got to deal with this stuff. This nut, they say now, was claiming some kind of amnesia. Now, here's where I'm beginning to be a little suspicious myself. The guy, it's you know... there's every likelihood the guy's got something wrong with him. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch. Now, naturally, we don't want anybody playing crazy when they're not. There was some horse dung that I heard yesterday. What was that, Robert?
Yeah, he said he may not have no memory of the of what happened.
Yeah, no memory of shooting people.
Yeah, then and he had a amnesia or something.
Yeah, bull crap.
That's what I think.
Before the movie theater massacre last week, the suspected gunman had been seeing a psychiatrist at the University of Colorado, mailed her a package containing a notebook, according to a motion filed by James E. Holmes' public defenders. All right, so this is the beginning now of drawing in, and this is extremely important, because if this guy was seeing a psychiatrist and was dangerous, the first thing they're going to ask the psychiatrist is, you know, why didn't you see this happen? And there's not that doesn't necessarily mean the psychiatrist is in the wrong. It does not mean that at all. But they're going to, obviously, they're going to look at it. And right now, there's one psychiatrist in Colorado, wherever this individual is, that's crapping bricks.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, you know, if you're the person, if you're the one that this guy was seeing, and then he goes out and he does something like this, how do you not feel like, you know, the whole world's going to hate you? In any event, in the filing released on Friday, Holmes' lawyers say that after law enforcement executed a search warrant at the University of Colorado, Denver this week and seized the package addressed to Dr. Lynn Fenton, someone leaked information about it to the media, including allegations that Holmes had alerted law enforcement to it. The release of such information would violate a gag order issued by the judge in the case. The government's disclosure of this confidential and privileged information has placed Mr. Holmes' constitutional rights to due process and a fair trial by an impartial jury at serious jeopardy, Holmes' lawyers said. As well they should. As well they should. Because if the DA or the police involved in this case can't keep their big fat mouths shut when the judge tells them to, then this guy probably ought to get an acquittal. And I hate to say that.
But what are you talking about? The guy shot people.
I'm telling you, like, I don't know about anybody else. I'm getting sick and tired of these DAs and these prosecutors and, in some instances, these cops when they get a highly explosive, highly national, very sensitive case. And the next thing you know, all kinds of stuff is getting leaked. Even though the judge said there's a gag on the case, can't say anything, don't leak anything. I don't know whether the media's got anything to do with this, but you bastards in the media in Colorado, I'll tell you something right now, man. If you are inducing or otherwise, you got a hand in trying to get information out of people to the point where they're leaking things in violation of a gag rule, and this guy walks as the result, somebody ought to know who you are. We ought to know what your name is. The government's you just heard what the lawyers said, so they're already saying, aha! You know, serious violation of our client's constitutional rights. Now, you know, the filing did not say why Holmes was seeing Fenton, who did not return calls to her office at the brick home in Denver where she's believed to live. The windows were closed and no one answered the door. Fenton, a 51-year-old graduate from UC Davis in 1982 and the Chicago Medical School in 1986, completed a residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation at Northwestern University in the 1990. After working as chief of physical medicine for the United States Air Force in San Antonio as a physician in Aurora and later as an acupuncturist, she completed a second residency in psychiatry at the University of Colorado in 2008. She's been an assistant professor and for the last 3 years a medical director of the Student Mental Health Service at the university. And this is where Holmes had been a neuroscience doctoral candidate, or student, I should say, until he began the process of withdrawing in June. Most students receive combined treatment of psychotherapy and medications from a single provider at the center, according to the center brochure, and the center staff consults with medical staff. So this guy was getting treated by her, a dangerous individual.
You think that means he had something wrong with him?
Yeah, I think that means he has something wrong with him. The only thing that I thought was bullcrap was when I heard this baloney about how, oh, you know what? Wow, will you remember what? No, I can't remember what happened. I may not remember what happened. Now, I don't know that anybody's telling him to purposefully lie. There may be people saying to him, you know something, James? If you don't remember, you don't remember. And don't you let anybody force you into... I mean, seriously. On May 30th, Fenton helped make a presentation at the psychiatry department called World of Warcraft, The Use of Archetypes in Psychotherapy. World of Warcraft, a popular multiplayer role-playing video game, was among those Holmes played, according to a former roommate at UC Riverside. Video games, man, among some of these completely psychotic or even psychopathic people is pretty normal because they're young people, a lot of them. The ones that are, you know, like when we go back to Columbine.
Yeah, you don't think it has anything to do with them going and killing people?
No, I think that, you know, they're young people, and so they play video games. And it so happens that if you're crazy or you're psychotic or you got a problem, you're going to latch on to all this symbolism and feed it through your madness. If Phil Henry plays it, you may think I'm crazy, but I'm not. If Phil Henry plays that game, then I leave the game in the computer. I get up and I walk out into the world and I don't obsess over the damn thing. I go off and I do something else. I sure as hell know that it's a game. You take some guy that's crackers, that's his reality is, you know, things are floating in the air, people are talking to him, and he's seeing people talking to him on the street, which is what happens to the, you know, schizophrenic people. He's going to take all that stuff out of Warcraft, man, and he's going to be in the real world. What was that thing you were watching the other night, what that guy said?
Yeah, he said that guy, one guy killed a guy, and he thought he was in a video game.
What?
Yeah, but that guy killed a guy with a sword?
Yeah, remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, he ran that guy through.
This kid... We were looking at this story. This kid who was psychotic, and that means schizophrenic or some kind of psychosis, was told by some girl that her father was abusing her. It was a total lie. It was a complete lie by this very manipulative girl telling this boyfriend who was half crazy, and he showed up at the house with a sword and killed the father of this girl, imagining himself to be in this video game where he is battling a demon and he's the, you know, the knight.
You don't think the video game caused that?
No, the video game didn't cause it. No, the video game didn't. And one other thing, take the video game away and they're going to act out in other ways. They're going to find some other symbolism. They're going to find some other bits of reality to kind of construct a new reality. Because the reality of psychotic people doesn't exist the way you want. It's gone, man. They're out of their minds. Okay? They're out of their minds. I mean, this is what we ought to be talking about. Blows my mind that people who are supposed progressive people... this is the most progressive thing you could possibly be discussing. The mental health of individuals, of human beings, and what if any, bearing it has on crime. And start talking about something we've never talked about before in the history of this country, a national discourse on violence and mental illness. And let's cut the nonsense about guns.
Yeah, but Obama, you've got to get reelected, got to talk about it and everything.
I think President Obama is making a big mistake. I think he's gasbagging it. I think when you say, well, okay, we had a really bad thing happen, I think we got to start talking about something. Otherwise, people are going to be pissed off at me and they won't vote for me. I know. Let's bring up the assault weapons ban. Okay, whatever, man. Bring up the assault weapons ban. That's great. So it'll be an assault weapons ban, and some guy will go out with, semi-automatic pistol and do the same kind of damage or close to it, and then what kind of a discussion you want to have then? What the hell is wrong with people? See, if Obama was thinking, man, he would be talking about the stuff we're talking about. And, of course, you know, the Republicans would grab a hold of that. And they would say he's sounding touchy-feely, but then he could turn around on the Republicans and say, hey, I thought you don't want me talking gun control. See, they're caught in the middle. I heard that one guy, I don't know who this jackass was, some senator running his yap on a Sunday show. Okay, fine. So what does this guy say, man? He says, there's no solution in Washington. Now, that's a safe ground between I don't want any damn national mental health care and I don't want any gun control. So let me just say there's no solution in Washington. All right, so you're on your own, Colorado. Until the next one happens, and maybe it'll happen in this senator's backyard, and you're on your own, Senator. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And don't forget to go online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass, baby, the BSP. If you are a member of our BSP family, you are indeed a unique and special person, most of you. Some of you are just, you know, kind of weird. I'm kidding. No, we really appreciate all of the love, and don't forget our BSP, and of course, don't forget the free podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast up there right now. Until Monday night, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.